changing up and kind of getting us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Everybody ready? This week, we're going to start Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I read through this and meditated on this. You know, I really believe this is the meat of the Colossians right here, chapter 3. It tells us, gives a lot of good information. It tells us what we need to do. But we'll start reading here. And I might read out of both translations so it helps us better understand this. But I'm going to start reading out of this Passion Translation. Deborah, I love this. I've read several translations, and I mean, this really, I love this translation.
Merry Christmas.
But anyway.
Excuse me, did I give you Isaiah? The Passion Translation of Isaiah?
But I'm going to go ahead and read here. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That is why we are to yearn all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority.
Amen.
Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm.
Amen.
Here a couple of weeks ago, this buddy of mine that works at Central Shop, I was down there, and boy, he was just tore up. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, man, my next door neighbor said they had like a 15, 16-year-old son went to Oak Grove and said they found the kid who committed suicide in the shower. Their only child. Mama was a teacher. Daddy, I don't know what he did, but they was good folks, carried the kid, kid to church. Mm-hmm. But I asked him the other day, I said, well, did you find out any more on a young man? And they said, well, he had been dealing with depression. Mm-hmm. Like, depression can hit old, young, but here we see some instruction on where to focus your minds at in the heavenly realm, where Christ is. And I noticed myself the other day here, I was sitting down, and you ever watch these reality shows, it was one of these like beach homes, and you pick, go through beach homes, and then a couple picks which one they're on.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here watching these things, and there's like 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, and I got to thinking, my old mind got a little crazy there, and well, Dave, if you'd done something different in your life for a living, you could be there one of these days or whatever. You know how that flesh, that
and because that's a man. That's just in you to want to be better and take care.
And the next thing I noticed, I was just kind of down about that, But, we have to, if a man, doesn't make $1 million, then he'd want two. And then if he got two, he'd want 10. And if he'd want 10, he'd want 100. You never can satisfy the flesh.
Exactly.
That flesh, you're never going to satisfy. Yeah. But here's what the instruction of the scriptures tells us to do to put our minds here. Let's go on reading. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. I'm crucified. Let's say that. I'm crucified with Christ.
I'm crucified with Christ.
So that has severed the tie to this life.
Yes.
And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, when we look into the scriptures and study and see who the Lord really is, what's it say? Who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. And remember, we told what the glory of God was, the relationship, the love between the Father and Son. That's the glory of God. And we're now one with Him. We're in that. We're in that now. Let's go on and read. It says, live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who died to disease and the desires for forbidden things. And this, what this forbidden thing was magic. You know, people, you don't want to go down that road. Including the desires for wealth. Wow. Which is in essence of idol worship. When you know, money's a poor man's God. You really think about it. I mean, we all need money to operate and do things on earth and that. But if you set your mind on that and make that your God, you're really a poor man. Think about it. For when you live in these vices, you ignite the anger of God against these acts of disobedience. Or does God still love you if we have? Sure, He does. Sure, the scripture.
Anger proves He loves you.
Yeah, it goes on, but he reproves us. He's a good God, He's a good Father. He reproves us. He said, you know, I don't like this right here, so He's telling us. So that's how you once behaved, characterized by your evil deeds, but now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. He says, lay aside your old Adamic self with its masquerades and disguises, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed in the likeness of the one who created you. You know, it's so important to renew your mind and to find out who you are, and when you find out who He is, what we just read, you find out who you are.
For Christ is our head, and it's whatever the head imagines and desires is what the body does. So if you're living with Him as your head, you're going to do the right thing. But if you're living out of your own head, whatever evil desires come up, your body's going to perform. So it's best to live in Christ, with Him being our head and us being the body, carrying out His desires and wishes.
That's best for us.
Let's go on right here. Thank you, Debbie. It says, in this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, or your education, or economic status. They matter nothing. You know, I like how Pastor used to say, you know, y'all leave everything at the door.
Yeah.
Come on in here and let's worship the Lord.
That's what's behind you.
Amen. Amen. For it is Christ that means everything as He lives in every one of us. He lives in every one of us. He lives in every one of us. I want to read a scripture before Brother Thurston comes. I'd seen this the other day, and it really made me think of Thurston. You know, man, that's, I even brought your name down here by the scripture. But y'all remember Thurston telling the story.
Thurston's name's mentioned often in prayer, too. In our books.
But y'all remember Thurston telling the story of the gunfights and all, you know. When he lived on the rough side of town, and how he would put those things to end. But I read the scripture and I thought, this Psalms 81, it says, listen to me, my dear people, for I'm warning you, and you better listen well, for I hold something against you. Don't ever be guilty of worshiping any other God but me. I'm your only God, the living God. Wasn't I the one who broke the strongholds over you and raised you up out of bondage? Open your mouth with a mighty decree, and I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words that you speak shall so shall it be. But my people still wouldn't listen. My princely people would not yield to me. So I lifted my grace from off their lives, and I surrendered them to the stubbornness of their hearts. For they were living according to their own selfish fantasies. You know, what we was talking about earlier, that, you know, we just get our minds if we don't keep it on the Word of God. But it says, oh, that my people would once and for all listen to me and walk faithfully in my footsteps, following my ways. Then and only then will I conquer your every foe and tell every one of them, you must go. You know what the Lord told you, just, you know, that they must go. But, you know, you was obedient. Well, I mean, I tell you, you know, Thurston, you was hard on the heels of the Lord, you know, and obeying and doing what he told you to do. But it says, then and only then will, you know, conquer your every foe. But I'll go on and finish this out. But those who hate my ways will cringe before me, and their punishment will be eternal. But I will feed you with my spiritual bread, and you will feast and be satisfied with me, feeding on my revelation truth like honey dripping from the cliffs of the high place. But instructions, obedience, running after God, it's important. It's, you know, it grows you up, and God can bring you into certain places when you run after him. Amen. Well, I'm going to pray, and come on up, Brother Thurston. Father, we thank you for this day, a day you made, a day we rejoice and be glad in you, Lord. And Lord, this time of Thanksgiving coming around, Lord, we're always thankful. But Lord, help us keep our minds on you in heavenly places, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Sure.
Again.
Morning. That's a Mustang man.
Yeah.
Mustang man.
Purple Mustang.
Yeah. Yeah, God is good. He's mightily moving by his Spirit.
Yes, he is.
And everything that the Lord do, it's done with perfect precision.
Amen.
And I love fellowshipping with the Lord, listening to his word. And I appreciate all of his people who do the same thing. This week I was listening to Chuck Missler. He passed last year, but he's still on YouTube, and he had a lot of insight. He was a businessman. I think he had an engineering background, and he was in the corporate world, but he got saved, and Hal Lindsey was his friend, and he started teaching the Word of God. And remarkable, Chuck Missler. And when I listen to him, he sees things I don't see, you know, just like anybody. That's why it's so important to draw near to the Lord. You have insights. You have experiences that are varied. And when you relate to the Lord, you're going to see things, you know, because of your interest, which is varied, and your insights. But I noticed that when people have engineering backgrounds, they teach a little different. You know, I'm a mechanic. I like to know what went wrong and how can I fix it? How does it work? And so my questions to the Lord is, why did this happen? Why is that? I'm asking the Lord, why is it this way? Why is it that way? And he answers, you know, those are my interests. If you're interested in mechanical things, my mother said when I was 3 years old, if a tractor went down the street, I'd watch it till it went out of sight. And I was interested in things like that. So when I see the word, I look at it like a mechanic would. Now, I don't know how, you know, how all this works, but when people have the interest you have and the career you choose and the things that's important to you, mm-hmm. when you study the word, you're going to see something of God in it. And Irvin Baxter, he has an engineering background, and he looks at the word objectively. And he has something in common with Chuck Missler, how they look at the word. You know, I was listening to Irvin Baxter. He's not a pre-tribulation preacher. And I never was around one that was not pre-tribulation, so I never heard that side of it. And one night he was on, I almost turned to Chuck and said, no, I never really heard his side. I want to see what he's saying. And but he said some things that made a lot of sense. I used to condense everything in Revelation after chapter 4 down to 7 years. But he didn't. He said one of the horses was World War I. Another one was World War II. He explained it. He made a good point. He made a good argument. And you know, when you hear these things, you take it before the Lord. I was taught that all these things were confined to the 7 year period, you know, tribulation period. If that happened, you couldn't fit World War I and World War II. And you know, one part that really stood out was Chernobyl. When I think that was the third horse, the angel came and called Wormwood. And the Lord brought it to him. Do you remember hearing that one? And the Lord said, call the library. They're going to do the research for you. This had already happened. All right. The Chernobyl is the Russian interpretation for wormwood. They made a medicine out of it, and it'll turn your tongue black. And that's why they call it Chernobyl. And it means wormwood. And he explained how an engineer wanted to look at the fuel rods and at the nuclear reactor, and he raised them up. You know, the enemy was behind it. And then when he tried to close it, it wouldn't go down, and it blew up. And it blew a million-pound slab of concrete in the air. And the fallout killed so many people, according to what it said in Revelation. So I looked at it, you know, I said, the librarian had already done the research. And he asked her, why did you know this? How could you know something? She said, I'm doing she was in college and she was doing a report on it. So he called her, and the Lord told him that they do the research for him. So sometimes what's going to happen is, at the end of it all, the Lord did a beautiful work. He organized everything so more people would be saved. Amen. However he played it out. And you know, remember, it's sealed. You can't know it all. John sealed it. And it's fun to learn it. And people argue their points, but that doesn't mean they're right. But this was true. I received that as true because that's what the Lord brought to him. He was doing something else, and the Lord brought this to him. Look in the Chernobyl. And then he told him where to call, and the lady had done the research. It's on YouTube. You can watch it for yourself. But she... the reason I brought all this up, when people, anybody, draw near to the Lord, they're going to learn things, and the Lord's going to be able to reveal things that others may look over. Every person, it's important to draw near to the Lord. Your life experiences, your interests, the Lord can use it. That will cause you to ask the Lord questions. And I learned this from David. When things went wrong in David's life, when the drought happened, he said, Lord, why are we having this drought? And then the Lord said, because Saul broke covenant with the Gibeonites. And so he went to the Gibeonites to rectify the problem. And they said they wanted to kill all of Saul's sons. But he wouldn't let them kill Jonathan's son. This again shows you that God, that David was not an opportunist. If anybody would have questioned his authority to be king, it would have been the children of Jonathan. And he kept covenant with Jonathan. And he And they got their revenge against Saul's house, and then it rained again. Well, God, you know, when you break covenant, any sin, anything that's wrong, it can tie the hands of God. And so when things are not going, are not moving along, it's good to ask the Lord why. Some things take time to develop. It takes him to show you that. And I've had him to teach me things and show me things, give me revelation. I said, well, what am I going to do? I'm looking for him to give me some direction. And then he goes silent. I said, what, am I missing something? And he stays silent. And then the revelation comes again, and he talks some more, and he a season happens where he teaches me things, and then he'll go silent. and he'll give me the normal messages I have to do or whatever, but he give me revelation, and he'll go silent. And this happened until he did that website, gave me the website assignment. That's why I know that's a hot spot. The radio broadcast is a hot spot. The website's a hot spot because that's where he put the revelation. So when the Lord do that, just bear along with him. You know, just like we're long-suffering to people, be long-suffering with God, with your Father. Watch him. Ask him all your questions.
What about in the natural? You read a book and it's good. Oh, it's wonderful. Then you read it again. Did I read this?
Yeah.
That's why God can't do it all at once.
Yeah.
He wants you to concentrate on what you're at as he takes you.
Yeah. And the way it works is the revelation has to be received and planted deep. And it has to grow roots in you. This don't happen in 1 week or 1 day. Or sometimes it takes some time. For some revelations, it has to be in you deep, because when it's time for you to minister it, you have to be unmovable and steadfast. I didn't know all this. I learned as I go. Drawing near to the Lord is the key.
Yeah, can he develop that character in you?
Yeah, he developed character.
He wants ripe fruit. He does not want his fruit to fall. Before the time.
Right. It's foundational.
And that fruit doesn't appear just like that, does it?
No. It takes a season.
So he has to go south. He's still working with you and in you. But
he taught me something about faith. From the time you first believe, your faith is home, just like these lights. Mm-hmm. Faith is always present. It's always. If you believe God, your faith is home. It don't turn off. You have to doubt to turn it off. You have to doubt again. Whenever you doubt, you're doubting against someone. Parents are tempted by the enemy to doubt against their kids. People are persuaded to doubt against the people that can help them the most. And when you don't stand on the word, you're doubting against God's word, which is directed against God. So doubt is a disabler. That's a weapon of Satan, which can be destroyed. Everything of Satan can be destroyed in your life. The Word of God gives you a visual, and you can see your enemy as a crushed head serpent. You can see him with a crushed head. He's powerless in your life. That's why the Lord said, when you tell Satan to go, he's got to go. And that had to get in my heart, because I was going to need to do this. Anyway, the Word of God.
If you bit a snake in the natural, you're slaughtered. It wouldn't like us. When you bite Satan or crush him, stand up, he's dead.
Yeah. And in your words, you have to say this by faith and meaning. Mm-hmm. And then he has to go. And the Word give us that. And, you know, just like we were saying in the communion class, he said knowledge is at war with knowledge. The knowledge of Satan is at war against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is at war against the knowledge of Satan. We learn all kind of things from all kind of people all the time. And the enemy know that you're not going to receive a word he's saying if he came in his original form and said something. So he uses deception, somebody you'll look to. If he can get them on board and they say it, you're looking at the man of God or woman of God or mother or father or parent or sister or somebody that's been a blessing to you, and then they say something, and it, and you don't, if you know, if you, if it's a revelation you've never known before, it can be received. That revelation will hinder you from learning the real revelation of God's word. And then here's the condition. We know in part, but we have the Holy Spirit within that can guide us in all truth. Yes. So when I hear people, I go back to the Lord and I ask the Lord about these things. Some things are, you know, you know that the way it was presented, it's of God. And if the Lord talks about it as if it's true, you know it's true. But every thought, when you receive a lot of, much of God, if you can continually receive a supply of God's word daily, when people say something that's wrong and you normally couldn't detect it, you'll know something's wrong because it don't fit. That's a piece of the puzzle that just don't fit.
Wanted to give you the natural sciencey part.
Yeah.
Every cell has a receptor on it. It's like a plug.
Yeah.
Certain things fit in and certain ones don't.
Yeah.
But if that cell becomes corrupt, which is what happens to our soul, if we begin to believe the wrong thing, when a cell is corrupted, then that receptor will receive something that it shouldn't.
Yeah.
That's what diabetes is. Fat cells will come in, a fat receptor will plug the cell where it's supposed to receive insulin, and it won't. It's plugged by fat cells.
Wow.
So every cell has a receptor, and it recognizes what it's supposed to recognize when it's healthy.
Yeah.
Our bodies are a shadow and a type of the word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your soul clean, your receptors open, and only the word will fit in. Because everything else you hear that's wrong, it'll like spit it out. You know, your body won't like it. Then your soul, if it's in God's, in alignment with God's word, your soul won't accept it.
Yep.
That's good.
You know,
I'm kind of a sciencey, nerdy person, so.
You know, and scientists, they receive God's word in a certain way. I know it's how when Ray teaches, when she, the examples Deborah gives, it's another logic, and that's why the body we are equipped. John said that we don't need a man to teach us. That's just you know, and he was right. But this kind of knowledge comes from the anointing, her anointing, Ray's anointing. The anointing is corporate. I used to look at the anointing as being on me, but it's actually corporate. I'm not teaching, the anointing is. I don't know what people need.
And I'm not receiving, the anointing's receiving.
Yeah, well, your heart does receive it, at your will. God told the word spoken by the anointing.
That's how you receive it. If you receive it through faith and the anointing, then you really get it.
Yeah, when you love God, that's what makes it all work. Your love for God. When you hear something from God, you want it. You grab at it. You want it. From there, you have to let it grow roots. You have to keep it, retain it.
Love is the receptor.
Yeah.
And everything that's love back, your spirit will accept. Everything that's not love back, if you're in love, will spit it out.
The understanding of God's word,
yes.
it encourages your sincerity. When people who are sincere, they love the word and they stand on it, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. It takes sincerity to do that, and sincerity comes from receiving the word. And coming to a point of understanding. Understanding comes as you do it. When we're introduced to the word, you can tell by faith that it's true. You know it by faith.
But when you receive it in your heart and you do it, that's when you finish learning. You finish learning the things of God as you act on them.
It gives you a love muscle.
Yeah, it gives you a love muscle. From there, you understand it. Okay, I see. When the Lord, when he first said, if somebody slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek.
I have a problem with that. I said, you know, but Jesus said it, so I got to do it. So I said, well, this is what I'll do. And if people spoke rough or whatever, I'd rely on the Holy Spirit, and he'd give me what to say. It wouldn't be a reply out of anger. It'd be a consoling, soft-spoken reply, because Proverbs said, a soft answer turns away wrath.
And breaks the bone.
And it works. I saw the beauty of people have gotten saved because I didn't respond like they were. I responded like God. But years went by. I think it was around 2008 or 2006. I said, Lord, why did you say turn the other cheek? Now, I had done it. I never asked the Lord the question until I got saved in 83. That was one scripture I didn't like. But I did it because Jesus said it. That's the only reason I did it. And I wanted to represent him, not me. But I never asked him why he put it that way. And so in around 2008, I said, well, why did you put that in the word? Why did we turn the other cheek? I just wanted to see what I didn't disagree at that point. I just wanted to see what he'd say. He said, I didn't want my people to provoke violence. And I saw